The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening. Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I don't know why that's so funny today.
Chuba.
We are out of our gourd today.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to the Forcecast. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. This is the episode for February 9th, 2007. And we're happy to be with you. All giggly tonight for some reason. I don't know why.
Giddy like schoolboys.
I never thought of that being a funny line, but it is now. It's ruined for me forever. I am Jason, and with me, as always, my best buddy in the whole wide galaxy far, far away, and the one right here too, Pete.
Glad to be back in the co-pilot's chair. It's yes. Much more comfortable over here.
Are you tired of the microcast yet?
No, it's frightening.
But you're enjoying it?
Oh, I love it, but, you know, it's a very daunting task.
Yeah, it was for me too. This week, apparently.
Sitting there all by myself.
Apologize for the podcast being a little late, or the microcast being a little late in the day on Wednesday. But I mean, you just can't edit the show while you're watching Boston Legal. I think that's the moral of that story.
Can't do much else other than watch Boston Legal.
It's the best show on TV.
One of them, for sure. For sure. Well, speaking of the best, we have to mention our wonderful sponsor, the best sponsor, Official Picks. That's officialpicks.com. They make this show happen. Check them out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X. And right now, if you sign up for email updates on, of course, new releases by Official Picks and the Celebration 4 autograph program, they are the official vendor for Celebration 4, you will automatically be entered into their drawing for a free, officially licensed Mace Windu autographed photo, of course, signed by Sam Jackson.
Do you think he would sign mine? Say what again? Say what again? Sorry. That's early on in the show for a bad impression. You know?
Yeah, it is. That's
brought to you by Official Picks. Thank you very much.
Well, you know what? They're not the only sponsor that we have this week. And we love Official Picks. But this is sort of the week for... This is the only show that we have for Valentine's Day. Next week, you know, by the time we get to the show next week, it'll be all over. So we want to introduce a new sponsor just for this week's show, the Happy Huts Love Shack.
Slave girl wear.
Sexy and seductive.
Slave girl wear.
To put him in the mood.
Slave girl wear.
For your wildest fantasies.
Bring the romance back to the throne room with exclusive slave girl wear. On sale this week at the Happy Huts Love Shack. Your home for the ultimate in slave girl outfits and accessories. Metal bikinis, neck chains, floor length loincloths. Make your master proud to say he owns you.
Did you ever see Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Do you remember the scene with Jabba the Hutt? Well, Jabba had as his prisoner Princess Leia. Princess Leia was wearing this gold bikini thing. It was pretty cool.
For him. For her. For it. The Happy Huts Love Shack has everything you need for the wildest time this side of the Outer Rim Territories. The Happy Huts Love Shack. With locations in Cloud City, Mos Espa, Nal Hutta, and Mos Eisley. Hurry, sale ends on Bunta Eve.
Yeah, oh, Princess Leia in the gold bikini. Oh, every guy our age loved that. It's huge. Yeah, that's the moment when you know, she stopped being a princess and she became, like, you know, a woman.
Stop by any location and enter to win free hair braiding for a year. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 to enter. See store for details. Species must possess legs, feet, and hands.
And thank you to Happy Huts Love Shack. That's our little Valentine sponsor. So all you guys out there, you know where to get the famed gold bikini for the special woman in your life.
Who doesn't think about that? Just like the Friends says.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that clip was from Friends. So we want to give them credit. Please don't sue. I don't know. I think David, I haven't heard much from David Schwimmer these days.
No.
He's probably sitting with like a, you know, wife beater tank top on with a beer, listening to this podcast.
I highly doubt all of that.
Well, you know what? We're finally redeemed with the onslaught of Star Wars films in HD on HBO this month.
We've been grousing for so long.
We have been. I mean, we were all geared up for that Cinemax, you know, in HD experience, and I think like 9 people got to see them because of how how prevalent Cinemax HD is. There's like a cable provider that, well, you know, you heard it. You listened to the show.
Yeah, you know.
You heard all the griping, but this is very exciting. HBO HD is running all of the films right now, with the exception of Return of the Jedi, which I don't get, but I'm not going
to
complain.
No, I guess we can't complain, but it was so nice to have that huge event that Cinemax was putting on.
Right, all of them in order. And
HBO has just kind of leaked them out here and there.
Yeah, they have. So check it out at theforce.net, and we'll have a link on our show notes that kind of gives you an update with all of the show times throughout the month of February. So it's very cool. I've watched them all now.
It's worth it.
And in HD. And I have to say, as far as looks, Episode 2 is the best looking film.
By far.
And we were talking before the show, and Pete, I think you had a really good reason as to why you think it looks so good.
It's very simple. The backgrounds aren't nearly as complicated as they are in Episode 3. You know, you go to Fallujah and there's all this foliage. You know,
right.
In Episode 2, you go to Kamino. You go to Tatooine, which we already know the layout there. Yeah.
Kamino's very, very clean.
Yeah, very
Tatooine,
clean.
Tatooine, of course, very clean as well.
Geonosis as well is very clean, very desertish.
It's probably the most complicated one of all the settings. But and the film, you know, gives you time to breathe, and Episode 3 really doesn't. I mean, in places it does, but I don't know. There was just something about the whole chase through Coruscant at the beginning with Obi-Wan on the assassin droid was incredible.
Yeah,
in HD it was.
You
amazing.
Can see all the little cookies and Easter eggs that they throw in there for you, and
the TIE fighter and the X-wing.
Right, and visually everything is just Naboo was breathtaking.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
scenery was just absolutely amazing. So
it was striking how
worth it,
how much better it looked in the episode than Episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we were just talking about a couple of years, but obviously Episode 2 being shot digitally, as opposed to Episode 1 being a kind of hybrid, I believe, some elements shot digitally. So if you have HBO and you have an HD TV and you got the right hookups, I'm sure you're enjoying that. So that's very, very cool. Some quick news we've got here at the top of the show. Disney has confirmed that they will have Star Wars weekends this year. They'll be kicking off June 1st. And these are three-day events, Friday through Sunday, to take place on 4 consecutive weekends, June 1st through 3rd, the 8th through the 10th, the 15th through the 17th, and the 22nd through the 24th. No news on guests or celebrities yet, but stay tuned, of course, right here to the Forcecast, and we'll let you know as soon as we know. Also, we want to give a little love here to our good buddy John Scolari, who has been really great with us in keeping us informed about this very exciting book coming out, The Art of Ralph McQuarrie. And there's a great article at StarWars.com with an interview with John and Stan Stice, who apparently, the way the story goes, and we're going to have John here. I'm making a very bold statement, but I've been talking to John. We're going to have him here on the Forcecast at some point as a guest in the cantina, talk about this amazing project. I mean, these guys started out just fans of Ralph's. They ended up making the official website, ralphmcquarrie.com, and then this project grew out of that. And it's a great article interview, just kind of talking about some of the hoops they had to jump through to really make the case to Lucasfilm that this book needs to be made. And, you know, Lucasfilm tends to be, you know, they guard their stuff
quite closely.
Yes, yes. But you know, at the same time, they let us play in the sandboxes. Tim Zahn said last night, but we won't talk about that yet. But at any rate, we want to thank John and congratulate him on the nice press that he got over at StarWars.com. That book comes out in April, by the way, and if it's anything like the previews that we've been getting, it's going to be very, very cool and really do justice to Ralph, not just as a Star Wars artist, but as a graphic artist in general. Also, you know, this isn't really a fan film, but, well, it is, but I guess it's a fan film.
It's a fan film,
right? It's a short film. Check it out over at theforce.net. We'll have a link on our show notes. This clip was put over, it was posted at youtube.com. And it's hard to explain, but basically what they have done is they've recreated the trench run from Episode 4, New Hope, with their hands.
Just hands.
Just hands. But what's incredible is when you watch it, it evokes, you know exactly what, I mean, it's a frame-by-frame literal representation of what you see in the movie. And they do it with their hands. I mean, it really is clever. You got to check it out.
Very creative.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of props to them for putting that together. For our Canadian fans, and we get email from you guys all the time. We love that. The Calgary Expo is taking place on Sunday, April 29th, and a couple of Star Wars celebs will be in attendance. First, Ray Park, everybody's favorite
Sith Lord.
Yes.
I guess not everybody's favorite Sith Lord, but
I don't know. He's pretty popular.
He is very popular.
Yeah. And, of course, comic book artist Doug Wheatley also. So if you're going to be in the area, that's April 29th in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, at the Calgary Expo. And then, you know, this is the year. We've been talking about it. There's a lot of anniversaries going on this year. And, of course, the 501st is one of them. And they've got some cool things going on at 501st.com. And that website is 501st.com. And go ahead and click the link for their 10th anniversary page. And they've got a cool contest running right now. They're calling it the 501st Encounters Contest. And this is just the first of what they're, I believe, prepping to be many contests for this year. And it's all about you, all about the fans. They want you to submit your best photo and a story of a 501st encounter, kind of like our Star Wars tales here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really cool prizes that you can win, including a complete set of 250 501st Legion trading cards. That's series 1 through 4. And from what I understand, I am not a big card collector. I used to really be into the non-sport cards. But these are very, very hard to get, a complete set. So here's all 4 series, 250 cards. Also, assorted 501st Legion temporary tattoos, an assorted collectible 501st droid hunt badge, and a 501st Mos Eisley Police Department hoodie. So all the details are at 501st.com, so make sure you check that out. And we wish them a happy anniversary. And, of course, speaking of anniversaries... Well, as you know, we've been counting down the weeks until the biggest Star Wars party of all time hits Los Angeles, California, in the Los Angeles Convention Center. We've got some more details about the show, but we've been kind of giving you a survival guide, or I should say Pete's been giving you a survival guide, with a tip for every week leading up to Z4. Pete, how many weeks do we have left?
We're at 16 weeks. So almost 4 months left.
Yep, 4 months.
And it's going to cruise by. And this week's tip, walkie-talkies.
Now, I know when
you hear walkie-talkies, you're thinking the ones that I had when I was a kid where if you were more than 50 feet away, you couldn't use them. And all you basically did was press the button and hit the squawk button to make it make noise.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about here.
Did anybody actually learn the Morse code that was always, you know?
I usually got through about 2 letters and went, oh, forget it. And by that time, we were all bored and sitting in front of the TV. But anyway, the walkie-talkies, the new generation walkie-talkies are much different. I mean, you're talking 22-mile range. And, you know, you can have several if you're in a group of people or
right.
If you want to find a group of people, you want to split up. Because let's face it, there's going to be too much stuff for you to do everything.
Oh, it's tough. And I mean, I'm a wee person. I'm a little person and it's easy for me to get lost in a crowd. And that happened with us at C3. It was just you and I.
Yeah.
And there were lots of times we would call each other on our cell phones.
Yep.
And sometimes you get a signal and sometimes you don't.
Right.
So the walkie-talkie, I think it's a great idea. I know we'll have them for the Forcecast. So great idea, Pete. I think that's a very good tip. It sounds kind of goofy, but if you've been to one of these, you know.
And they're not really all that expensive. I mean, you can get into the expensive ones. I mean, the ones with GPS trackers are $500 for two, but that would be kind of cool.
I'm watching you.
But, you know, just the standard ones are fairly inexpensive. So it's a good investment if you're looking to maximize your time.
And just a couple of quick C4 updates we have for you. Of course, as you know, Official Picks will once again be heading up the Autograph program. And there's a few details have leaked out here. The coupons are going to be sold again at $10 a piece, same as Celebration 3. Some celebrities will be one coupon, others two and three. Of course, you know, it's the big celebs that are going to be three coupons. So we've kind of bragged up this particular portion of the convention before because it runs very, very well. Official Picks, they are our sponsor, so full disclosure here, but they do an excellent job. Also, the very first celebrity has been confirmed. It will be David Prowse. Now, he might be everybody's favorite Sith Lord.
Darth Vader.
Of course. And yeah, if you've ever met David before, he is Darth Vader. And that's how he signs. Yes. David Prowse is Darth Vader.
And he is a gigantic man.
He is a very large man. So he's going to be there. And also at StarWars.com, you can check out more details about C4, including a complete breakdown of what's in it for you if you are a fan club member. So you want to check that out. It's going to make the difference between 4 days of fun and 5 days of fun. So again, make sure you check that out. Also, one thing that was crazy, and I don't have the stats right in front of me, the autograph area is going to be three times the size.
Three times.
Yeah, three times the size of the autograph area at C3.
76,000 at C3, 157,000
square feet. Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, it's 48,000 at C3 and 157,000 at C4. So
three times the size. It's going to be unbelievable. I'm holding out for the big guns. I think there are going to be some big people there. So 16 weeks to go until Celebration.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And our top headlines for this week... I'm laughing already. I'm sorry.
This is why we're giggly.
Chewbacca strikes back. Street performer accused of battery. Pete, what is this about?
Well, just to give you the highlights, the police did arrest a Chewbacca impersonator in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. He was accused of headbutting a Hollywood tour guide. And as I went through the story, I didn't realize this because I've never been there. But there are several street performers out there, and you take pictures with them, and you can give them tips or not give them tips, which apparently was the case. And Chewie was chasing someone down, and the tour guide said he was harassing tourists, and I guess it just led to this altercation, and the security guards kind of were ushering him away and told him to go take a walk. And then he took off his Wookiee head and came over and said, "No one can tell this Wookiee what to do," and headbutted the guy. And at that point, it became battery. Chewbacca went to jail.
Oh,
now, I'm going to win the costume contest with this sweet Chewbacca costume.
Or I'm going to use it as a disguise for assault and battery.
I love that quote. Nobody tells this Wookiee what to do. Well, and, you know, I think there's, you know, it's the question about panhandlers. You know, are they harassing people or whatever? And, you know, sometimes it is kind of harassing, and they wear costumes.
It's very touristy.
Right. I guess it's just one of those things that you do.
But if for those of you who haven't watched the news clip by the Los Angeles news station that was out there, now Superman, of course, witnessed the whole event.
No, it was Spider-Man.
There was a Superman too that witnessed the event. And instead of calling the police, he called Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is right across the street, and had the cameraman come over. So the only shot isn't from the news; it's from Jimmy Kimmel. You know, watching Chewbacca get put in the back of a squad car.
Well, and yeah, don't show the little ones this. And what was so funny about this, really, and that's why we're laughing so hard, because we had just watched this clip, and we'll have the link on our show notes from one of the local news affiliates covering this, and the guy's there on the street, you know, with a microphone in hand. And he's being very serious, very journalistic about this, and. So he does these man on the street kind of, you know, interviews with the folks around, and it's literally Spider-Man, the Scream Monster, Jack Sparrow, and they're not taking their costumes
Pinhead.
Off.
Yeah, no, they're just talking.
They've got the masks on, and it's just like Pinhead. He's like, "Yeah, I don't know. This guy's been a problem for a long time."
It's more like, because they're talking through the masks, and it's so ridiculous. They show this old news footage of Elmo and Mr. Incredible getting arrested. I mean, it's like, it's so outrageous.
Don't
that you
take
can't
the kids
even
there
believe
because
it
you never know.
It is even real.
Yeah,
I don't know if any of this is even real.
It's a very surreal thing to watch. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, I would say don't take your kids in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, only because they might see one of their heroes being carted away in a paddy wagon.
Right. Well, you know,
and the Elmo was really bad because the helmet, or the head was off, and like the chest part was off, but he still had the fluffy arms
and the bandaged legs.
The big legs.
Well, you know, and of course the cops are out there, and they want to make, you know, say that they've got everything under control, and they're saying we're going to crack down on this, and it's like, oh, I can only see this going bad.
You're right.
You know, nothing like superhero beatings.
Never again. Right. Well, Chewbacca.
All I can see is Chewbacca getting beaten with the Star Wars soundtrack playing in the background.
Well, anyway, that's just... there's not much you can say about that. Well, the guy on the news was kind enough to explain to everyone this was not the same actor who played him in the movies. Which I love that.
Yes.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, moving on to much more important news. This kind of follows up on some things we were talking about last week in regard to the Star Wars cartoon. Okay. We had some interview bites from John Knoll last week. He was kind of spilling the beans and mentioned that Rob Coleman is directing some of these episodes. And it looks like the folks over at mintinbox.com, they have a video online of a quick interview with Rob Coleman. It's from a recent event earlier this year. And they do discuss the 3D animated Star Wars series, and Coleman actually does kind of, he dishes it up a little bit. Some of the highlights here are currently, there are 15 episodes in various stages of production. Almost two episodes are fully completed. Coleman's going to be directing the first, or five of the first 26 episodes, and he says they're looking fabulous, they're looking great. He says, our stuff is incredible compared to what's out there. He says, some licensees have viewed footage, and the reaction was very positive. And final assembly of the show is done at Skywalker Ranch, which I actually found that kind of interesting because I know that they've got the Singapore animation division. And Rob admits to, oh, he just mentions that he collects some trinkets, you know, along the way in his journey as an ILMer and a Lucasfilm employee. And he hopes to be able to attend C4. So hopefully not only will he be attending C4, but be bringing hopefully
something with
it. Something. Right. Yeah. And once again, it's just nice to have some news that, yes, this is going to happen. Because, I don't know, I guess after episode 3, obviously doing this show every week really keeps you jazzed about Star Wars. But, I don't know, there was a part of me that was just feeling a little blue.
There was a pretty big canyon of no news. And now, even if it's just these little snippets that come out, I'll take what I can get. And this was it's interesting to see him because he's very genuinely excited about it.
Yeah.
So you know that it's going to be something fantastic. And they talked about the it coming back to ILM for final put together, but they talked about the various stages of it keeps going back and forth a couple times, and it's very interesting to see how the process is. And again, they reiterated that it's going to be something that is it's very Lucas and very beyond the scope of anything that's available out there
currently.
Right now. So,
who better to do it than Rob? I mean, considering the fact that fans that don't love the prequels have to give Rob and his crew props for the way that they brought Yoda to life as a CG character. So clearly, when you watch that work, you realize that he understands not just performance in an animated character, but of a Star Wars animated character. So if anybody's going to do it, and I'm just thrilled that it's him. Speaking of 3D characters, recently a Star Wars 3D character, or I should say the voice actor of a Star Wars character, was in the news. Voice actor Ahmed Best has defended his most famous creation, Jar Jar Binks. This is from where'd you get this, Pete?
Oh, this is from Entertainment News.
Okay,
PR Inside.
Yeah, this was not on the Force.net or Rebel Scum.
Is from this Empire is an exclusive magazine, I guess.
This is an exclusive, folks, right here to the Forcecast. But yeah, Ahmed Best was being questioned about Jar Jar and how unpopular his character was, and he says no. He says Jar Jar is a film pioneer. The fully computer-generated character was heavily criticized by Star Wars fans and film critics when he first appeared in 1999's The Phantom Menace, but Best believes that he paved the way for future special effect characters like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings and King Kong. And he tells Empire Magazine, "I have nothing but love for Jar Jar. He was film history. He helped pave the way for Gollum and King Kong. I think in time, Jar Jar will be seen as a film pioneer." So
he broke the mold as far as computer graphic goes.
Yes, he did. We got to give credit where it's
ridiculous characters go.
Well, I got to say, though, I have to tell you, a good friend of mine who has a little boy who's, now, I don't know, maybe he's 7. And he's just now watching the Star Wars films. And I have some cousins now that are younger than that. They're just now watching them. I'm telling you, they love Jar Jar.
They love their Jar Jar.
They love Jar Jar. And what can you say that hasn't already been said? I mean,
yes.
we can't rehash this argument. But it's funny that, my goodness, 8 years after the fact, there's poor Ahmed still having to defend.
He wasn't the worst character ever.
He was a film pioneer. So our best to
a pioneer, I tell ya.
A Hursa. We need Jay Shepard for that bad impression. Actually, Jay's Jar Jar is quite good.
Yes.
This is also sort of a follow-up to a prior story that we talked about in some depth a couple of weeks ago about the future of going to see movies in the theater and how it looks like 3D may be, the 3D technology may be the savior of the film industry in terms of seeing them at the movie theater. Some interesting statistics, and this came off of StarWars.com. For Hyperspace members, they do have a component to the site where they pull in relevant articles from Variety magazine. And this one was interesting. It says, Currently, there are only 250 screens in the world that are equipped to show the 3D format, but that number is expected to double in the next 2 months and quadruple by the end of 2007. So, and then they kind of go through and talk about the history of 3D and how this 3D is a lot different than what you might have been used to. And Pete and I talked about that. And James Cameron's film, which comes out in 2009, is a live action film, and it's actually being shot to be released in 3D. And, you know, they mentioned that in a lot of cases with some films like, Superman Returns, Polar Express, they've actually released these films simultaneously in IMAX theaters as 3D releases, and they have actually outgrossed the 2D counterpart. Some of that can be attributed to the fact that it's a little more money to go see one, but
it's not that much more money.
No.
So that's news that's good to hear. Do you think they listened to the podcast last week?
I'm guessing, yeah.
And all of a sudden they went, you know what? We really need to do this.
They have a point. Those guys know their...
Those two guys in Jason's basement have really turned the chain for me.
Basement? What are you talking about? This is our...
Jason's studio.
Our palatial studios here, yes, at the ForceCast.
The golden microphones. Oh, we're going outside of our Star Wars impressions.
Right. We've got all of our resources, you know.
That's right.
You've read those message boards about all our resources. Anyway. Yeah. That's pretty much your Star Wars hard news for this week. I think we've got a little bit of gaming and some EU coming your way. Well, fans of these, what do you call them? Plug and play. TV games can rejoice. There's going to be a new Star Wars themed game complete with a Millennium Falcon game controller. Now, these are those ones that they usually have like a... just an RCA jack that you plug right into your TV, and boom, everything's right there built into the controller. There was one previously released based on Episode 3,
mm-hmm.
But this one coming out is original trilogy stuff, including, what are they talking about?
You can battle the Empire above the moon of Endor and on the frozen world of Hoth.
Okay.
They're going to have four new games.
Well, it's funny because the actual description doesn't really match up with the screenshots that they have at StarWars.com because it looks like there's a Death Star Trench Run component to this and also some man-on-man or person-to-person combat between Darth Vader and Luke on Dagobah, and then there's some Obi-Wan stuff too. So... it looks kind of cool if you're into these. I mean, these are very simple graphics. These are games that even I could play.
Yes.
But, you know, one thing that I keep thinking about is I really wish, and of course, it's all about licensing and whatnot, but wouldn't it be great to get the original 8-bit NES Star Wars games built into one of these controllers?
Yes.
That would be cool.
And we know that they can do it.
They can do it, but it's a question you got to get LucasArts on board. You got to get Nintendo on board, I'm sure. So it's a whole thing.
It is a whole thing.
But this new game, again, shaped like the Millennium Falcon, it should be on store shelves this month. So check that out if you're so inclined. And a little bit of EU news. For those of you that have been not been able to keep up with Star Wars Legacy from Dark Horse, you can do so in one place. The first story arc takes place over 130 years after Return of the Jedi and features a whole new cast of characters, including Cade Skywalker, is going to be released as an exclusive hardcover compilation. So that's going to be available at StarWarsShop.com. It's up for pre-order right now. Of course, the book is written by John Ostrander and art by Jan Dursima. Did I say that right? Dursima. I think they pronounce it Dursima. Yeah.
Dursma? Sure. Better figure that out kind of soon.
Oh, and Dan Parsons and Brad Anderson also.
Yes.
So, you know, Pete and I have been raving about this series. It's a great series. And if you haven't been able to keep up, I know our own Dan Curto prefers to read his comics in this type of format. He doesn't want to run out every month and worry about getting it. He just waits for the bound copy. I can't wait, especially if I get hooked.
Yeah. Once I'm in, I'm in.
Right, right. So that's a good opportunity to get caught up. And they started the second arc. And I tell you, if it's anything like the first one, it's going to be very cool. I'm happy with where they're going. Ooh, that music can only mean one thing. A new feature here at the Forcecast. When necessary, we will step aside. Because I don't think our listeners are going to mind, do you?
I don't think so.
Yes, there are, or is, I can't talk tonight, more information about the fourth Indiana Jones film. It is official. According to IndianaJones.com, Indy 4 will be released on May 22nd, 2008. StarWars.com had the story. They said, Star Wars fans have long thought of May as the birth month of their beloved saga, and in 2008, they'll be welcoming a globetrotting archaeologist to the party. While May 2007 marks the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, May 2008 marks the return of Indiana Jones in the fourth feature film, reuniting Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford, and George Lucas. So Thursday, May 22nd, 2008, the official release of Indy 4. And there was a... you go over, we got the on our show notes, you can check it out. We've got a link to a fan-made poster, which looks really, really cool. In fact, I would not be disappointed if this was the real poster.
No, I actually thought for a second I did too.
And that's courtesy of the folks over at SpielbergFilms.com. Great job showing a aged Indy with just that look that that only Harrison Ford can do. And speaking of Harrison Ford, there's some news about, well, I don't know if I buy this one. What do you think?
There's part of me that, well, talk about the story and I'll tell you why. I think maybe.
Well, MonsterandCritics.com is reporting that Harrison Ford is threatening to pull out of the Indiana Jones 4 that was, of course, just announced as, you know, we have the official release date. So, I mean, this story is predates the other one by a couple of days. But apparently, safety regulations have changed since the last filming of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And they feel, the movie makers feel, that in better to protect themselves and the actors, they wanted to go with a CG whip. And Harrison Ford got pretty ticked off and he said the rule was ridiculous and he would pull out of the film if he couldn't wield his whip. This kind of smacks like the other story. Remember the one about
how
he turned down a role in some Han Solo spinoff film?
I'm sure it was something, you know, like, oh, hey, what if you can't use your whip? Oh, I'll pull out of it.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a part of me, having dealt with this on different levels, these insurance type of things, that
you're
is
no stranger.
Just cynical enough to make me think there's somebody somewhere that went, you know, we could save on our risk if we used a CG whip as opposed to a real whip.
I'm sure some bean counter might have thought that would be a good idea.
Who thinks, what's the difference?
Well,
and then you see Harrison Ford come in and you go, that's the difference, buddy.
Well,
I don't think there's anything to it, but
I don't either. And it's funny that a couple of these stories popping up about Harrison Ford and making him seem kind of jerky. Well, there you got it. Indy 4, it's official. 2008 is the year. Thursday, May 22nd is the date. Mark it down on your calendars now. See, there's still stuff. There's reason to get out of bed as a Star Wars and Indiana Jones fan. And we are very fortunate to have in the cantina with us this week, Shannon McRandall. You requested it, folks, and you got it. We aim to please here at the Forcecast. Shannon was specifically requested as a guest to be a guest on the show by one of our listeners, and we aim to please here, and so Shannon was gracious enough to give us some time. Now, we just got a few minutes here of the interview that we're going to play for you, but listen, or keep checking the feed, keep checking theforce.net and rebelscum.com, as we will be releasing the full interview as a microcast next week. But without further ado, here is a sneak preview.
Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
All right, we're joined in the cantina by the one and the only, lovely Shannon McRandall. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, some of you out there listening may be wondering, I've heard that name, Shannon McRandall. And Shannon is actually the real-life model and the hand-picked by Lucasfilm physical representation of Mrs. Luke Skywalker, Mara Jade. So it's very cool to have you with us. And can you give us an idea of how in the world did this start? Now, you were, you know, a model before. How did you end up being a real-life character in the Star Wars universe?
You know, it's not even that exciting. They just did a casting call. I suppose a lot of people will remember Decipher Games, who did the Star Wars collectible card game years ago, mm-hmm. had the idea to do a real-life picture of Mara because she's always been kind of whatever that artist pictured her as. So there was no other than red hair and green eyes. She could have been anybody.
Right.
And Decipher went to Lucasfilm with that, and they said, hey, great idea. So Decipher just did a casting call. And luckily, Decipher was in my area. So it wasn't real hard for me to get there.
Excellent.
And I just happened to walk in and see what they wanted. You know, they were very specific. 5'9", red hair, green eyes. athletic, but thin, still girly. So
right.
I kind of walked in and was just what they had in mind.
Now, when they put out the casting call, did they actually have all those things in there and you were reading it going, this is me? Or was it something where they just did an open casting call and you just fit the bill?
Well, I got in a little before the open one because a photographer I knew was shooting it, and they, of course, gave him the mock-up with all the different pictures of her over the years. And he goes, wait a minute, I know a girl that looks like this. You want to talk to her? So I ran in and met them and just worked out from there.
So your initial meeting, was that with Decipher or was that with Lucasfilm?
That was with Decipher.
Okay.
They met me and thought, okay, she's nice. She can actually walk and talk at the same time. And she's what we have in mind. But then, of course, they had to put it across George's desk. You don't do anything in that world without pretty much his specific approval.
Is that right? I'm aware that a lot of these decisions go right to the top, but that's interesting. So, I mean, of course, this wasn't just any decision. This was literally, I mean, without a film, was casting a major character in the expanded universe. Did you have any idea who this character was before you got the gig?
Well, as soon as I got the little call that said, hey, you want to come in for this casting, I had no clue. I mean, I was a fan of the original movies, but not... I didn't really know anything about the expanded universe. I'd heard of it, but that was my, you know, knowledge on the whole subject. So I went to a comic book store down here where I live and at the beach and went in and said, hey, I've got this casting. Who is Mara Jade? And the guy handed me like three comic books and said, here you go. So I just went home and read those and found out about Tim Zahn's novels, of course. So I read as much of the first one as I could. And when I walked in, I had a pretty good idea of who she was.
Hmm.
I think that probably impressed them a little too.
Well, that's cool. Did you wear anything specific that kind of said Star Wars, or what instructions were you given as far as a wardrobe, or did they put you in something?
Absolutely nothing. I didn't have to. I mean, it was summertime. I had on a sundress. I think it wasn't anything.
Right.
They just needed to see that I, you know, wasn't hiding 3 tons of fat under a girdle somewhere. I mean, they wanted a specific body type, which I don't think I need to mention.
We gotcha.
Yeah, she's a girly girl. And then they had mocked up what the first outfit would look like, so I knew it would be the black leather, you know, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely no. I mean, it didn't really matter. And as soon as they said yes, I went for fittings with the costumer that they had hired, which was actually amazing because we have a fantastic kind of a theater system here. I mean, the opera, the theater, the small theater, everything here is just, we're a very artistic area. So Virginia Stage Company, which puts on productions, huge productions regularly, was hired to design the wardrobe. So I just went in and they took the measurements and we had a few fittings and, I mean, it was really great.
Wow, that's very, yeah. Very cool.
So it was a one of a kind.
You're listening to the Weekly Forcecast, brought to you by RebelScum.com and TheForce.net.
And we want to thank Shannon for her time and remind you once again that that full interview can be heard later this week when we drop this is sort of the debut of the Cantina Microcast. And so she was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that she's at C4 because I'd really like to meet her because she was very sweet and very humble.
Seemed
and
to really enjoy it.
Just loves the gig of being Mara Jade. And speaking of Mara Jade, we have sort of teased this, but Pete, you tell them what you did earlier this week.
I got to talk to the one, the only, Timothy Zahn. Now, Jay Shepard did chime in with this one, and we had some technical difficulties, and so unfortunately I had to finish the interview by myself. But
Jay just disappears.
Well, you know, the guy has so much stuff to do. I actually don't know how he does it all, but he was there for me to help me with this interview, and you know, I know he'll be there for me the next time I
and
need
still
him.
So send us groovy pictures of car accidents happening outside of his apartment,
right outside the window. So,
but anyway, it's. I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit on the interview, and you do a fantastic job interviewing him, and he was just as nice as could be. He seemed very, very nice,
really down to earth, really a fun guy to talk to, and
he knows his Star Wars.
He does know his Star Wars, and there's not a better person that you can put in charge of any aspect of the Star Wars universe.
Well, so that's going to come up next week here on the Forcecast. We'll have a few minutes of that, and then that'll be eventually released as a microcast. We got all kinds of stuff. You got to be checking the site every day.
It's all going.
You never know when something's
crazy.
Drop. It's crazy. And, well, speaking of crazy, we've got your crazy listener mail coming up right now.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we'll start off with your Star Wars tales for this week. First one is a voicemail coming from our good friend Robert from California. Take it away, Robert.
Yeah, hi. This is Robert Wirt from California. I'm a proud member of the Central California Garrison of the 501st. First thing I wanted to say was I really appreciate how you guys are always positive and upbeat about everything that the 501st does. It's really nice to know that we're appreciated by you guys and in turn by a lot of the other different fans. Secondly, I also want to tell you how much I appreciated the card I received from you guys for Christmas. It was really nice, and made me feel like you guys actually cared, which was really cool. And never, ever run across that. I mean, it was a really nice gift. And as far as Star Wars tales, now, I'm only 25, so I wasn't around for the original run, and I missed Special Edition because even though Star Wars has always been a part of my life, I just wasn't able to go to the theaters to go see it. But my Star Wars tale comes in with Episode 2. I had always heard throughout my entire life how everyone talks about Star Wars and how mind-blowing it was, and being in the theater and getting that thrill with the entire crowd. And I've seen a couple of Star Wars movies, you know, The Phantom Menace, in the theaters before, and, you know, no big deal to me. It's good movies. And then I was watching Episode 2. I liked it, just like I liked all the Star Wars movies. But there wasn't anything too terribly special about it until the end. When Yoda walked in and you see his shadow, I mean, I just could feel the energy of the entire room just swelling. And when they started the Battle of the Wizards with Count Dooku throwing stuff at Yoda and everything, then everyone started clapping. And for the first time in my life, I understood what you guys were, what most of the fans talked about. And I shared a wonderful moment. And then when Yoda brought out his lightsaber, I mean, the first time and the only time in my entire life, I clapped and I was hooping and hollering during the movie, and everybody around me was doing the same thing, because it was a rumor up until then, because I saw episode 2 on the first day, and it was a rumor, and it was just so amazing. And that's my Star Wars tale for now. I'm sure I'll be calling you guys back later and telling you more Star Wars tales after I attend C4. All right, I hope to see you guys there. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, we'll be there. We'll be there. So thanks, Robert, for that. We appreciate it. If you've got a Star Wars tale that you want to send us via voicemail, you can you can always email it as an MP3, or you can dial us up at 330-871-4TFN. And we are on Skype, and you just look us up. We're under username Forcecast, all squished together there. No hyphen.
No hyphen.
Not on Skype.
You start throwing symbols in there and starts to screw things up.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So, Pete, you've got a Star Wars tale for Valentine's Day.
Yes, we put the request out for Valentine's Day type stories. And we expected to get some from the females, and we didn't, but...
Oh, we did get one.
We did get one. That's right. We did get one. But Chris Slappy Pine, Christopher, came through with one for us. So, and he had a couple other ones, and this is intriguing, and he may have to send us another one as he's talking about how would I talk about it? Do I talk about Christmas morning? I had my parents go through all the trash to find a Chewbacca figure that was thrown away with the wrapping paper. I could write about meeting George Lucas in Disney World.
Well, I want to hear that one.
Yeah. And, you know, going to see the premiere of the episode 1 trailer after having to pay to see Waterboy, you know, but this is the one that struck him. He said, I've been seeing my girlfriend for about 2 years. My girl, Becca Fry, or I'm sorry, Becca Faye, it's trying to add vowels, made my tale possible.
Consonants, actually.
Listen, me not know English, that's impossible. Our 1 year anniversary was approaching, and when I brought up making plans for it, Becca told me that I had to keep the whole day free and that we were going into Boston for the day. We lived about 20 to 30 minutes outside. I was expecting the type of romantic day that she would have loved. I pictured a picnic in the commons and maybe drinks and dancing somewhere, possibly swan boat rides or a private tour on the harbor.
Like that scene in Naboo. You know, rolling around in the grass.
That's
and
right.
Jumping on whatever those things were.
I had no idea what she was
planning.
I just
lost my geek cred there.
You are, yeah. She kept it a surprise until the end, but her gift to me was tickets for us to go see the Star Wars Where Science Meets Imagination exhibit at the Museum of Science, one of the most thoughtful gifts I think I've ever gotten. We played with the learning stations set up to explain simple scientific principles to children. We looked at all the props. Becca took my picture in front of many pieces while I grinned like a little kid. Looking around in the gift shop, all I wanted was something that said both Star Wars and Boston on it, but I could find nothing. I begrudgingly settled on a $9 pin that just showed the exhibit's logo, disappointed that I was buying something I really didn't want. A little later, we went on the Millennium Falcon ride that was going, and while waiting in line to ride that, I think the ticket was $5 or $6, they gave us each a pin showing the Falcon flying over the Boston skyline. It was perfect.
Oh, that's cool.
After that, we went to Finale Hall and had an early dinner, a lovely day and all. The next day, I took the Falcon pin into work and put it in my cubicle right next to my Jedi Mickey Mouse beanbag toy. When people look at it, they see someone letting their geek flag fly high, but I see a reminder of my girlfriend's love. I have my fingers crossed this year that she'll get a Slave Leia outfit and dance for me. We know where you can get one. Happy Valentine's Day. Well, Chris, that is a great...
That is a good one.
Great tale of Star Wars love.
That is nice. I like his turn of phrase there. My geek flag. Let your geek flag fly high.
Yes.
And sounds like he's got a good girl there.
So yes.
All the luck in the world to those two crazy kids. We also have another Star Wars tale. This from Dave Senden of California. He says, "Hey, Jason and Pete, I'm a first timer to the Force cast, but in no way, shape, or form am I a stranger to the Force or Star Wars itself. I mean, come on, unless you live under a rock, there's no escaping it. I have read all of the EU books and have all of the movies, and even have the ultimate geek moment and have them on my iPod. Don't ask. I just tell you it's the Force, and I have a strong influence on the weak-minded. I have them on my iPod, too. So,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll be at Celebration 4, and I hear you guys will be also, so I'll be looking for you. I'd like to share my most memorable Star Wars moment with all of you. I would have to say that my most memorable moment is when I was a little boy and I first watched The Empire Strikes Back, and I was first introduced, as everyone was, to Jedi Master Yoda. Through the years, growing up, I loved all the characters, yet Yoda was always my favorite. And there was a sense of guidance and wisdom when my life wasn't going right or when I thought I couldn't talk to my parents. I could always talk to my Yoda action figure, which to this day, I am proud to say that even 25 years old, I still carry it around in my pocket. Again, thank you guys for this great podcast. May the Force be with you. See you at C4. So that's kind of cool. I used to have one of the Topps Return of the Jedi trading cards that I carried in my wallet when I was in elementary school. I had one of those Velcro wallets,
mm-hmm.
you know, those like vinyl Velcro wallets. And I can't even remember what it was. I think it was the teaser. It was for the teaser poster, the red one with the Vader helmet and the,
yeah.
Yeah. So I used to kind of, so
it's nice to have a little talisman like that.
It is. Do you have anything like that you carry around with you?
I don't. I actually, for a while, was carrying around a Lego Star Wars guy, one of the keychains.
Oh.
But he met his untimely demise.
Well, if you out there have a Star Wars good luck charm that you carry with you, by all means, drop us a line at podcast@theforce.net and let us know what it is. We'd really like to hear it. Okay. Star Wars tales are over. We've got just some plain old listener mail. We've got the good and the bad and the ugly tonight. Or today. Pete, you want to take the first one? We've got a female perspective, so this is good. This is good.
Yes, this comes from Sarah in Indiana. Says, "Hey guys, I just want to drop you a line and let you know how much I am enjoying the podcast that I just recently found. I've been a fan for 10 years now, I can hardly believe it, ever since middle school. And my excitement for the verse has been waning due to all my Star Wars friends being obsessed with collecting and not much else. I've been an EU fan for as long as I've been a fan, so I really enjoy the microcast on the EU. Helps me catch up on stuff I've missed through my college years being unable to get really into the comic books and storylines, and also refreshes my memory."
By the way, I should just say that verse is sort of geekbonics for universe.
For universe, yes.
Yeah.
And she says, "I have to agree with the fact that there isn't much in the way of a female voice in the fandom, though through no one's fault but our own. We have such strong female characters in the verse that it's odd that the strong female fans aren't stepping up. Currently working on an essay about the warrior queens in the Star Wars universe, Leia Tenel Ka, and Mara Jade mainly, to really focus on the strong female image that seems to get clouded by the metal bikini incident. Not that I have anything wrong with the metal bikini. Leia took down Jabba's barge. I mean, come on. With the upcoming 30th anniversary and the TV show, it's going to be nice for young girls to see these strong role models with brains and heart and courage to be someone that doesn't have to be a male character. Good luck in the upcoming year with the podcast. Keep it coming as it's renewing my love for Star Wars universe once again."
Well, thank you, Sarah from Indiana, for that. And, you know, she brings up a good point. And actually, Jay sent us an email earlier this week where he was suggesting that maybe we do another one of those roundtable discussions like we did wrapping up 2006 and talk about this issue of, you know, female characters in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, obviously there's the EU has kind of expanded it. I mean, it's expanded all the characters in general, but in particular, I think they've paid close attention trying to balance things out a little bit and having strong female characters. But certainly Leia's no slouch. And Padme in the first two films is great.
Well, I always remember that when The Phantom Menace came out, there was a huge uproar by some women's groups because none of the Jedi were women. Human female.
Okay,
Jedi.
I was going to say. And, hello, Yaddle.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there was an uproar about, leave it to George Lucas to not let a woman pick up a lightsaber. And it was like, the most strong-willed character in the film is Queen Amidala. I mean, here's this girl who has to be older than her age and run a whole planet.
Right.
So yeah, I've always thought female characters were well represented. But
what happens to her in
episode
three, though? I mean, that's the debate we could have. I mean, what happens to Padme?
She gets all wussed out. Well, you know.
Weepy, and I guess that's what Marion Hayden Christensen will do for you. All of a sudden, you're just crying all the time.
Well, you know, he's gone all the time. He doesn't pay attention to you. I mean, that's not the definition of a good husband.
He's on the couch on his laptop. They just want to watch TV with you. Oh, that's my life. All right. we got another note here. Now, wait a minute. Is this two from Dave? Did we have Dave up here before? No. Did we?
What? Yes.
Oh, Dave. He cheated. All right. We've got two emails from Dave from California. He had a question about supershadow.com. Now, this is a Star Wars website that provides info that by 2015, production will begin on episodes 7, 8, and 9. Have you guys heard anything about this? Anyways, may the Force be with you and keep up the cool Force cast. Well, Dave, what can we say about supershadow.com? It's super full of crap. That's the best thing I could say. I mean,
it's always fun to speculate on rumors and stuff like that. But this is a rumor mongering.
Well, I mean, it's not
machine.
It's not even just like spreading rumors that are, you know, that are kind of leak. There's absolutely no basis in reality for this. I mean, this is like way out of left field. And the guy that created this site may just be trying to, you know, have a lot of fun with
direct
people.
Some traffic to it.
Yeah, I mean, you get well intentioned guys like Dave saying, "Hey, is this real?" And I would say,
no, not real.
No. If there's going to be any rumor mongering around here, it's going to be us.
it's
going to be Force.net and Rebel Scum. No, seriously, Dave, I would say stick with the official site. Stick with us at Force.net and RebelScum.com. We're certainly no stranger to when we get a little bit of news, we'll run with it. I mean, but
passing
we have
it on.
Yeah, we do. We don't hold back. But at the same time, we want to make sure that what we are saying has some accuracy, has some basis in reality. And I think Dustin and the whole gang at TFN and Rebel Scum do a great job of saying, okay, this is rumor, you know, this is confirmed, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd say stick with us and you should be okay. Another listener mail here. I'll take this one if you don't mind.
Please do.
Because this one came directed to me personally.
Yes.
Hello, Jason. I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan living in Vancouver. I recently purchased an iPod and I've been listening to your shows. I really enjoy the content of your programs. Expanded Universe drones on too long. That's Pete. Anyway. But he says, however, I do have one criticism on the technical aspects. Every show seems as though it is recorded in some big empty room. There's a kind of an echo in the background. Also, you seem to be recording your programs with faulty equipment, as there is a persistent hum and sometimes crackling that accompanies the hollow surroundings. Your podcast is clearly not THX approved. Maybe you should refrain from using the THX sound. Let me assure you that everything is fine on my end. I listen to a variety of music and podcasts with no problems or malfunctions of any kind. The music portions of your podcast sound fine, for example. I would really like to know the reason for the poor audio quality of your programs. Maybe the listeners can raise funds so that you can purchase your equipment from somewhere other than the local Radio Shack. May the Force be with you. Mirko. Well, Mirko, I don't know what you're talking about. Echo? What echo?
I don't hear any echo.
Well, I don't know what his deal is.
Well, you know, we're always looking to improve. So There's no doubt that we take into account everything that's good that we get.
Right.
And everything that's maybe a little bit negative.
He did a little bit negative.
Well, he had some nice things to say.
Well, you drone on too long, and the show that we put together sounds like crap.
I will not stand for these accusations.
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and, you know, never let it be said that we do not share, like I said earlier, the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to listener mail. This is Mirko's opinion, and he's welcome to it. So, on that note, Pete, you want to take the last one?
Sure. This last one comes from Jason, good name, by the way, Tampa, Florida. I love the podcast. You two do a great job. Now, that said, I was disappointed to hear about the fan club change, so I thought I would give you my take. I hate it. Fan club is a pale imitation of its former glory. The magazine is nice, but hyperspace is just a waste of time. All the best stuff is on the free side, and don't get me started on the membership kit. It's all advertisements. To me, it screams, yeah, it's nice you joined the club, but we really want to sell you stuff. So the separating of the club and the magazine is just a bad idea. It is the best part of the club. They don't need to separate it. They just need to fix the rest of it. I like being able to say and be part of the fan club, but I will not renew in its now form. Said you want feedback? I hope it's not too negative. I don't think that's too negative, because no. I think there's a sentiment out there that in order for everybody to continue re-upping, we want to have something to bring us back there. There's some really great stuff that you can get into, but sometimes it's hard to find it. Sometimes it's not jumping right out at you. The web strips are great, but sometimes you just don't know that they're going on.
That's true.
I don't check back regularly.
The site has gotten so big, and there's so many features that it is kind of tough. And they do send out the newsletter, the e-newsletter that sort of keeps you updated on things, but it still falls through the cracks. And, you know, StarWars.com isn't perfect. I mean, I think he's got a great point about the membership kit.
Right.
I mean,
and the thing is,
it is all advertisements. My favorite thing is the letter from George, even though it's just a Xerox. I just like, you know, hearing what he has to say to Star Wars fans. I'd be crushed to know that he didn't really write it.
What? We won't let that know.
I don't know. I have a feeling that he actually does. But
I think there's probably been a kind of this has probably been in the works for a while. And so there may be some aspect to it that they haven't done a lot of changing, knowing that a big change was on its way. We're going to see a debut of a new StarWars.com here fairly shortly. I'm not allowed to say that, am I?
What? Well,
I'm giving away secrets again.
No, yep. I think it's probably a good assumption that with the 30th anniversary, we're probably going to see a upgrade or an upgraded StarWars.com. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a pretty good chance that we should see something like that. And so I think that they really are working towards doing something fantastic. So
yeah, I think that the fact of the matter is that the web is changing so fast, and the way people want to consume content over the web has, in a way, past StarWars.com, and they have some catch up to do, let's be honest. Hey, if anybody can do it, they can. So I'm actually kind of excited to see what the future holds over there with hyperspace, and I'm not ready to cancel my membership yet. Well, that's the show for this week. We want to thank our sponsor, officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. Check them out for all of your Star Wars photograph and autograph needs. Everything's official over there, so you don't need to worry about authenticity issues. Also, our other sponsor for Valentine's Day, the Happy Hut Love Shack. I want to thank Jimmy Mack, our announcer, and the guy that put that together for us. So great job, Jimmy. We're happy to have you on board officially, and welcome to the team, and yada, 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 all that good stuff.
And, of course, thanks to Shannon McRandall for joining us in the cantina. Make sure you check out later next week, where we'll be debuting the entire interview in a microcast.
Also, next week, Pete's big moment with Timothy Zahn, the real-life creator of Mara Jade, and oh, so much more. check that out. We'll have a few clips of that next week at the Forcecast, and the full interview, of course, the following week. So you just got to be checking all the time.
And remember to dig us out at dig.com. That's D-I-G-G.com. You can dig the Forcecast in general or individual episodes. We appreciate everybody who has dug us so far and has put some comments up there.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
A lot of good comments.
There have been some great comments. And write us a review on iTunes. We need a couple of updated ones. So if you get a chance to do that, please do that for us.
Yeah, there's a negative one that comes up first, I think. We need to get rid of that guy. So say that one's not helpful. No, we like all feedback. So
please keep it coming.
Absolutely. You can email us at podcast@theforce.net. You can Skype us at username Forcecast. And come on, get on the stick. Download Skype. It's free, and it's a great way to communicate with us and communicate with your friends for free. You can't beat that. And we're going to be, later this year, we're going to be maybe doing some more listener participation type shows, and we're going to be doing that with Skype. So make sure you check that out. Give it a shot. Also, if you'd like, you can dial us up on the regular old cell phone, or any phone for that matter, 330-871-4-T, like the, F like force, and N like net. That's 330-871-4-TFN. Also, our forums, we're getting a great community over at rebelscum.com in the official Forcecast forum. So take some time, go over there, register, and keep the conversation going about the show. Pete and I are on there all the time. So it's a great way to get your feedback to us quickly. And also, we do ask on our show notes, you'll see a link for a listener survey. Fill it out. It takes a couple of minutes, and it helps us create a better show for you. For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.